The Veterans Choice Program is expanding. A growing number of vets are seeking medical care outside of the VA system, with the VA paying for it. The RAND Corporation took a look at the system of choice providers in New York State, home to nearly a million veterans. For what it found, we turn to the principal researcher, Terry Tenelian. Ms. Tenelian, good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
What was the genesis of this research in the first place? Why look at New York State's choice program in the first place?
So we've had a longtime partnership with the New York State Health Foundation. We did a needs assessment of veterans who were returning to New York in 2010 and identified significant rates of post-traumatic stress disorder and depression among the returning veterans in that state. New York State Health Foundation has been committed to trying to identify ways that it can improve the use of federal resources to support veterans residing in New York with health-related conditions. They asked us if we would look to the readiness of healthcare providers within the state to be able to absorb potential demand among veterans.
And you have found in earlier studies that veterans are fine with outside of VA care, but you also found that the system of providers in the choice program aren't all that ready necessarily. Tell us more about that.
Sure. Well, our study in New York actually looked at all licensed healthcare professionals in New York State, regardless of whether or not they were registered in the choice program. We are able to look at choice providers and to determine their readiness compared to other providers in the state. But overall, we found that while the majority of community-based healthcare professionals in New York State indicated that they were taking new patients and could accommodate patients within 2 weeks, as we applied a series of criteria or indicators of readiness, whether or not they were prepared to deal with veterans who have service-connected health conditions, we saw the proportion declining, and only 2% met all of our criteria.
And what briefly are those criteria?
Sure. We looked at whether or not they were able to provide timely care. As I mentioned, were they accepting new patients? Could they accommodate new patients and returning patients within 1 week, within 2 weeks? But we also looked at aspects of what we call culturally competent care. So were they familiar with military and veteran culture? Were they aware of the risks and issues that veterans may face at higher proportion than non-veterans? But then we also looked at whether or not they were likely to deliver high-quality care, care that was evidence-based, and if they had familiarity and preparedness for some of the health conditions that veterans are at risk for and may experience, like post-traumatic stress disorder, like tinnitus and hearing loss, like chronic pain. And so we looked at various different aspects of this timeliness, culturally competent, and high-quality care.
It seems like any medical professional could overcome almost all of those, familiarity and knowing what risks veterans are likely to face. But the one that they can't get around is culturally competent and knowing veterans' culture. Unless you were there, you can't acquire that except by having been a veteran.
Well, maybe not. And certainly we know from talking to veterans that veteran cultural competence is important for facilitating therapeutic alliance. But there are a number of training programs that are designed to increase the familiarity and confidence of non-veterans in interacting with veterans so that they're sensitive to the types of experience that they may have had in deployed settings. They're familiar with the terminology so that they can relate and have a conversation and dialogue. But really, it does come down to this ability to listen and understand the needs of the veteran and the patient.
So you don't have to have been at the Battle of Agincourt to be able to deal with people that were there.
Right. And we found that about 25% of the providers in New York State had trained or worked in a VA setting in their previous employment. But we also know that if you had taken a course in military cultural competence or veteran culture, you were more likely to meet some of our readiness criteria.
We're speaking with Terry Tenelian. She's a researcher and senior behavioral scientist at the RAND Corporation. And in a place like New York State, or really anywhere, what resources are available or maybe should be to help the VA as it expands into the choice program, such that the providers it sends people to will have these competencies?
Sure. Our study actually outlines four recommendations, and the first really is around increasing awareness of military and veteran culture. And there are a number of resources that are available, either through national organizations, including the VA, but other non-governmental agencies as well, to increase providers' familiarity of the military slang terms, the military cultures, and the types of issues that confront veterans. We also identify opportunities to increase engagement and awareness of the VA. So the VA has a number of resources that it makes available at no cost on its website through a community provider toolkit. So in addition to information about military and veteran culture, providers can learn additional information about the types of conditions and needs and even identify appropriate screening practices. And that is another area where we make recommendations. It's really important that all of our healthcare providers do a really good, rigorous job of screening patients, including veterans, for conditions so that they can identify undiagnosed issues and also make appropriate referrals. And so the fourth area that we make a recommendation is to improve the monitoring of quality in care. And so the VA, as the purchaser of care in the community, can implement some quality monitoring approaches to make sure that it's holding those community-based providers accountable.
In many ways, VA could learn from, say, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which has a quality and holistic approach program formerly has been going on for a couple of years now.
Correct.
Well, it strikes me that the criteria and the recommendations for improving veterans care in some ways applies to the entire public, because everyone that comes to healthcare has their cultural and background baggage. And so it seems like these basic approaches would apply to any population.
Absolutely. And I thank you for bringing that up. It's often a point that we make in talking with other individuals. While the spotlight and the microscope, if you will, has been on the VA as a system of care and as a payer of care in the community, certainly all of healthcare could take a lesson from these findings. As a patient, I think we each should be afforded the opportunity that our providers understand our needs, listen to our concerns, and conduct appropriate screenings to identify any issues that we may need referrals for or additional follow-up treatment.
And I wonder if VA and some of its affiliates could help the veterans by letting them understand that they can accept care from places that may not be as culturally competent or as familiar as they might expect. But, say, hey, this guy's a really good surgeon. No, he did not serve in Afghanistan or Iraq or Vietnam. But for what you need, you can't get better.
I think most veterans want to know that they're going to see a provider who can understand them, not necessarily that they wore the same boots or walked in the same experiences, but that they're going to see providers who have the right skills and approaches to meet their specific healthcare needs and that they can relate to them and their experiences.
And in the time we have left, I want to refer to some earlier work that you have done, including Invisible Wounds of War, a study you led, psychological and cognitive injuries, because the biggest one of the top policy issues and performance issues VA is facing is to lower the veteran suicide rate. And so many organizations are focused on this. What are your thoughts on how that can be chipped away at?
Well, it's a national priority that we really must attend to the concerns and the rising number of suicides among veterans, but also among other parts of our population. And the VA is certainly leading the charge in engaging communities and trying to identify ways that it can try to connect veterans who are at risk to sources of care, including the VA, but other providers in the community. Last week, I spent 3 days with 7 cities who were part of the VA and SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration, mayor's challenge to really try and tackle this issue, particularly among the veterans who are not connected to the VA, where we know that the risk is higher.
Terry Tenelian is a researcher and senior behavioral scientist at the RAND Corporation. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.